First, it's the week in Washington with a look at top stories in national politics. The big story today, the House of Representatives gave President Biden's nearly $2 trillion COVID relief measure final approval today without any Republican support. Biden could sign it into law as early as Friday. A few other stories we'll check out. Several Republican senators have announced they won't be running for re-election. How does that impact the 50-50 partisan split in that chamber? And a significant voting rights bill faces a lot of Republican opposition in the Senate. Could that force a reckoning over the filibuster? You can join in at 800-642-1234. How does it feel to see this COVID relief effort coming to the finish line? Do you support it, oppose it, a little of both, depending on which part you look at? Tell us what you like and don't like. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Mascaro is chief congressional correspondent for the Associated Press. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I want to give a listen to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi talking at a press conference about the passage of the bill.
My praise right now goes to the President of the United States, Joe Biden. This is the Biden American Rescue Plan. It will be followed by the American Recovery Plan. And it's about just that, saving lives and livelihoods and giving people hope for the future.
We've been following this bill for quite a while. You have too, I know. Can you talk about the final push to get this passed, first in the Senate and then now in a revised version in the House?
Yeah, absolutely. It has been a long haul. Of course, President Biden's, you know, just top domestic priority here, getting this big rescue plan through Congress. And boy, it really is, you know, it's coming here on the 50th day of the president's, you know, being in office. So he's sort of halfway to that 100-day sort of milestone that we always measure. And for Democrats, you know, this is a pretty big win. It's also a definitely partisan win. You know, there were zero Republican votes for this plan in either the House or the Senate. And that's going to be some, you know, some really telling politics that we're going to be watching now for the weeks and months ahead. As you said, it's been a long time coming. So they worked, you know, gosh, round the clock last week in the Senate. They made some changes to make sure they could get it through the Senate with that very, you know, narrow. Democrats had zero votes to spare. So they had to have all 50 of their Democrats on board. In the face of this Republican opposition. And then they did make some changes, not a lot, but enough that were substantial. It went back to the House. House finished it, passed it again just now this afternoon. And Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer had a press conference, you know, on the steps of the Capitol announcing it. You know, this is a big, big package. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff in there for a lot of people. And Republicans are really counting on, you know, being able to sort of sell this as, you know, too much, right? $2 trillion, big, bloated, things that have, you know, nothing to do with COVID. That's how they plan to argue this. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if that really sticks, because there's a lot of stuff in here for, like I said, a lot of people. You know, there's these direct payments to Americans. There's a big boost in the child tax credit that people can start receiving as sort of a monthly stipend for their, to help them, you know, through this period. Of course, there's, you know, money for vaccines and vaccine distribution and reopening schools. It's polling very well right now. So I know the Associated Press had some polling about, you know, the president's handling of the pandemic was very high. So we'll see if that sticks and if this very partisan vote ends up, you know, being a benefit to Democrats, or will it be a problem for them, you know, down the road?
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jacob is with us in Toma. Jacob, hi.
Yeah, how's it going, Betty?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Jacob?
Yeah, I you know, watching the news about this darn COVID bill, and, you know, I'm hearing they're talking about spending $2-3 gazillion on this thing, and not a darn person can tell me what is in there that's going to stop the darn COVID.
Jacob, thanks for the call. Right. And the main part of this is COVID-related economic recovery, right? Lisa, you mentioned the direct payments plus support for small businesses and big businesses like airlines and some others. Jacob's wondering, I think, about what is in there related to COVID. You mentioned some of the money going to vaccine. Are there other things directly related to the public health side of things as opposed to the economic recovery side of things?
Yeah, no, you're right. And that is a big criticism of the bill. But, you know, there is the money for vaccine distribution. There's money for testing and contact tracing. And, you know, I think the public health officials has been saying, you know, you have to get people tested. You have to, you know, make sure they're able to sequester, you know, and get the treatment that they need so that they aren't spreading it. And so, you know, there is the money to do that kind of testing and then to get everyone, you know, who wants the vaccine vaccinated, right, to try to get as many people as possible vaccinated. And I think the public health folks will tell you, you know, this is a novel coronavirus, right? It's a new virus. They're learning about it every day. We have these new strains. There might be, you know, a need for booster shots after you get the initial vaccine later. You know, this will be something that is around, it appears, for some time. And what, you know, Americans will need to do is figure out how we're going to, you know, incorporate the treatment and the prevention in our healthcare routine. So, you know, people get a flu shot every year, right? Maybe we're going to have to get COVID shots every year. You know, these are things that I think we're all learning as we go here. And the bill does have funding in for that, of course, for continued research and all of that into these treatments and vaccinations. And, you know, and I don't think this is the end of the line on that either. I think, you know, there will be the annual big appropriation bills coming from Congress where they drill down, you know, in the different departments. Okay, does, you know, NIH need more money, the National Institutes of Health, or, you know, Health and Human Services, you know, getting money out. And I will also just back up and say there is a lot of money going to the states and cities, you know, that have the public health departments that are on the sort of front lines in, you know, in distributing a lot of this and getting a lot of the health care out to people. So there is a lot of money going to that as well.
Thanks for the call, Jacob, at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Now, Lisa, as hard as it was to do this legislation, this was kind of the easy one in some ways because Democrats could use the reconciliation process. They don't need 60-plus votes to get it to a vote in the Senate for something like this. You can only use that for certain kinds of legislation. You can only use it a couple times a year. So any other big agenda items, right, are going to be a taller order as long as the filibuster is still there. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I will just add on to that list that you said. I think there was also just a momentum, right? Democrats, you know, they know they're sort of on borrowed time. They have, you know, the White House, the House, and of course this evenly split Senate. You know, the House is also very narrow, you know, just a 10 seat margin over there. So they knew they had to sort of, if they wanted to accomplish something early, they all had to hang together to get this done. And they did, you know, and so that will be part of their challenge moving ahead. But like you said, they can only use this, this 50 vote, you know, 51 vote threshold, you know, maybe one more time this year. And, you know, there is a lot of talk about using that for the next big package, which will be President Biden's campaign issue of the Build Back Better. So this would be a big infrastructure package that would have, you know, roads, bridges, broadband, you know, some green energy kinds of things in it, lots of different things that might go on that package, perhaps additional COVID related as well. But that's, you know, weeks, if not months away still. That's another big package. We probably won't start really seeing the contours of that for several months now. So in between, then to your point, right, what do you do? There are all these bills coming over from the House. There's a lot of talk in the Senate about trying to get rid of the filibuster, which is, you know, this old sort of historic tool that's been around for almost 100 years, where they are able to have the voting threshold at 60 votes. It's sort of a supermajority instead of 50. And there's a lot of talk about changing that. It doesn't seem that Democrats have enough support right now to fully change that. But, you know, we might see some things around the edges. So I think, you know, this spring there's going to be a lot of bills coming over from the House that the Senate's going to have to take up and see what happens. So these are bills on voting rights, for example, on perhaps, you know, equity in the gay rights space, in gun legislation, in legislation following the killing of George Floyd, in the police reform space. So a number of bills that, you know, could potentially be popular with Americans. And the Senate's going to start processing those, it seems, and sort of see what happens. You know, can they get any of this stuff over the finish line? Will Republicans block it? And if Republicans do just sort of block everything in this very partisan way, do Democrats then sort of, you know, hunker down and talk about really changing some of these rules to make it easier, you know, to lower that voting threshold to 50 so that they can get some of this stuff out, you know, and over the finish line.
We're talking to Lisa Mascaro from AP about several top stories in national politics, including the latest in Congress with a major voting rights bill she mentioned. We'll get to that. And the election landscape for 2022 and the U.S. Senate. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with more of your thoughts on the latest relief legislation. Do you think the filibuster should go away? Why or why not? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for AP, looking at the top stories in national politics. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Junction City. Dave, hello.
Hello. Yeah, my question would be is, I think you need to address why the Republicans were probably voted against this. I'm sure they're not against the COVID relief package part of it, but there's at least 20% pork in this bill when you have $86 billion to go fund bailout for pensions, for another $40 billion for mass transit. There is quite a few, if you dig deep, of what could be spent better elsewhere at this time.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. And Lisa, Dave, highlighting some Republican objections there, saying, you know, we could do this for less, and pointing out things that are not directly related either to COVID public health or to directly to COVID relief. What kind of things are we hearing?
Well, that's true that there are Republican objections, and they offered a number of amendments in the Senate trying to get rid of some of that money. But, you know, those amendments failed, and this is where we're at with this package. I mean, I think that is definitely sort of the argument that Republicans will make, you know, as we said at the outset, that it's just too big and they could have done a more tailored package. You know, I think you heard Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats today sort of explaining it. I mean, Pelosi said, look, you know, we backed up pensions because we want grandparents to be able to be stable so that families are stable, you know, through this pandemic. So, you know, both sides are going to have to really test their arguments out before voters and see where it falls. You know, I think Democrats are banking on this being, you know, they're sort of not shying away from this. They're saying this is, you know, one of the biggest bills that they've passed in decades. You know, some are comparing it to the, you know, LBJ's Great Society, or, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, FDR's New Deal. You know, they're sort of harkening back to these big government projects. And one of my colleagues and I wrote a story the other day about they're sort of not afraid of portraying themselves now as, like, you know, we're the government, we're here to help you. You know, they sort of borrow the old Reagan line. And, you know, Republicans are going to throw that right back at them and say, hey, this is too big. So
you know, I think voters are just going to have to sort of assess it, see what they think. Is this, you know, project helping them or not? And, you know, we'll have an election here, a midterm election in November 2022, and we'll see where the chips land on all of that.
Dave, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Well, speaking of that election, we know at least five names that won't be on ballots, five names of currently serving Republican senators, with Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri being the latest to say he's not going to seek re-election. Can you talk about what that means for the 2022 race? Obviously, with a 50-50 tie in the Senate, the Senate race is a big deal.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, the Republicans, you know, today's the day where both caucuses in the Senate have their sort of private lunches to assess how things are going. And the Republicans had theirs off campus at their campaign headquarters to talk about exactly that, 2022. And, you know, with these seats up, it's really a test for the Republican Party moving forward. You know, this is a party that's really in this growing pains moment of whether it's going to continue to sort of align with the kind of the kind of party that former President Trump built, you know, sort of leans more populist, maybe doesn't adhere to some of these traditional kind of Republican ideas of, you know, no deficits or some of the spending issues. And that also is really animated by, you know, some of the big social issues, some of the big culture war issues that former President Trump, you know, spoke about, you know, quite a bit, you know, immigration, the different issues out there in the culture space, you know, or are they going to sort of cue back to some of their earlier positions? And these senators who are retiring are among some of the more centrist senators in the Senate. You mentioned Blunt. Of course, there's Rob Portman in Ohio, Pat Toomey, you know, who is a conservative senator in many ways, but also, you know, very, very willing to sort of engage in a productive way out of Pennsylvania. And who the party nominates to run in those states will really set the pace here, you know, really decide which way the Republican Senate will go. And you've seen a lot of warnings from the Republican campaign side. They've been here before. You know, folks might remember the rise of the Tea Party in 2010, when a number of Republican candidates got nominated for a Senate that then could not win statewide elections. You know, there was, gosh, Christine O'Donnell in the state of Delaware, and there was in Indiana, Richard Murdoch. You know, there were a number of these candidates that were just too far to the right for voters that, you know, statewide, you elect your Senate from, you know, from the state. And so some of the campaign strategists from the Republican Senate side have been sort of warning, you know, and just encouraging everyone to sort of, you know, let's be sure to elect candidates that can win. But, you know, former President Trump is still a big player out there. He likes these candidates who align with him. A number of candidates are expected to align with him. And so, you know, those candidates could certainly benefit from the president's, you know, stamp of approval. So, that will be the thing to watch on the Republican side, you know, in the weeks ahead.
And I wanted to ask you, Lisa, how closely you at reporting in Washington are watching Wisconsin to see if there's a sixth Republican senator on that list of people not running for reelection. Senator Ron Johnson had said he wouldn't run for a third term some years back. Now he says maybe yes, maybe no. Are people really watching that decision closely from the Capitol?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, you know, a lot of folks thought he would go ahead and retire, but he seems to be keeping that door open. And of course, you know, Senator Johnson has really made a name for himself, you know, running when the Republicans were in the majority, running the Homeland Security Committee and going after some of the investigations. And it is interesting to sort of see him maybe think about sticking around and what kind of place he would have, you know, in Wisconsin politics and in staying in the Senate. So we'll be watching for that decision too. What do you think? Is he will he stay?
I would quickly go broke gambling on what politicians are going to decide to do. I will not weigh in on what I think will happen because I don't know. Big agenda items. We mentioned that the voting changes, we're going to talk about that tomorrow on Central Time. What other pieces of legislation are you watching for next in Congress in just our last minute or so?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the big things is the return to the minimum wage issue. You know, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour had been in the rescue plan. It got knocked out because of Senate rules, as you mentioned earlier, very strict rules on what can be sort of allowed in these reconciliation packages. The House is expected to vote again next week on sort of a standalone bill that will increase the minimum wage over a number of years, I believe it's 5 years, to $15 an hour. Currently, the minimum federal minimum is set at $7.25 nationwide. So it would be an enormous, and that will be another big test for the Senate. This, too, is a very popular item. Republicans oppose it. Democrats believe the American people are on their side, and so we're going to have a big test of that once it gets through the House and lands over here in the Senate.
Lisa, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Okay, Rob, thanks so much for having me.
That's Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press, joining us today for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics.